All right, midlife women, I have a question for you. Can you hit bottom, find yourself at a dead end, and then find the courage to dream and reimagine your next chapter in life? Despite the setbacks? Not despite them, but because of them. Well, we will hear Deborah Weed's story today on The Bravehearted Woman. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts, it's Dawn Damon, Braveheart mentor and vision architect, and this is the Bravehearted Woman podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave.
Dawn, I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you, Deborah. Hey, Bravehearts, I have a beautiful guest for you, as you can see, and I want to let you know my guest today is a creative whirlwind. Yes, she is. She's the founder of the Self-Worth Initiative, an organization dedicated to promoting self-esteem and positive mental health, all things that we're about here on The Bravehearted Woman. And she's also an award-winning author. She's an artist and the founder of Quills Up, a movement guiding women to reclaim their power. She's a storytelling genius. Once again, welcome, Deborah. We're so glad you're with us today.
Thank you so much, Dawn. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, you know, you and I were talking before we started recording. We have a story to tell, and you have a story to tell that both of us are excited to dive into. You went, Deborah, from being a branding executive to suddenly being 3 years bedridden with a misdiagnosis. I'm so eager to hear your story. Tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. When I was a kid, Dawn, and probably like so many of us, I was all heart. Empath, really, really sensitive. But sensitivity when I was growing up in my day was a negative thing, a weakness. So I decided very young to try to be anything other than what I was, which meant corporate, here I come. So I ended up as the director of development for Citibank, 19 branches. And I also worked on a $26 million pavilion with Disney and Universal consultants for Kia Motors and Taejon Korea for Kia Motors. And what a pavilion is it's a small world after all. Anything that's inside a ride, what they call a ride show. So I thought I had it made. And my self-esteem, which I didn't know was different than self-worth at the time, was way up there. I had the shoulder pads, I had the heels, I had the outfits, I had everything, I thought, but I was out of alignment with my spirit.
That's such a powerful statement. Out of alignment with your spirit. Does that mean out of alignment with your calling and your passion and your purpose? Or what do you mean by that?
What I mean specifically by that is that I was all heart. And when we're in corporate, a lot of times, think about it, it's very cerebral. You're in the thinking mode a lot. It's not heart-centered or heart-forward. There's some companies that are, but most of them are, you know, they're going to drive you and you're going to be driven. In fact, I didn't smile very much at all.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that because I was off track, I got the 2x4 that sometimes we get from spirit to kind of realign us. And boy, was it a rough ride.
I want to hear about it. You're reminding me of the line in the movie, A League of Their Own, where Tom Hanks goes, there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in corporate.
Exactly. And there's no, and you're supposed to be, you know, really, really, like I said, not heart-centered, which I was born to be. So What happened to me is that I had something and I was misdiagnosed for 3 long years. And what it looked like and felt like is, for me, it felt like labor every single day. Every
Oh
time
my
I had to go to the
goodness.
bathroom, a little bit of a trigger warning, it just felt like I was going to explode. The pain was off the charts, and I was weak beyond belief. So, as any other person would do, I went to doctors looking for the answers. And the first doctor I saw, Dr. Shiramata, an expert at MS, said, "Deborah, we think you have MS, but it's in your brain stem, and they won't know until you die." And I'm like,
Oh.
okay, what can we do about that? Well, nothing. So then I go to the next doctor, and the next doctor says to me, "I believe that it's Lou Gehrig's, and from the symptoms that you're explaining, and that we won't know until a little while later." And then I go to the third doctor because obviously nobody's really helping me, and he says it's all in my head.
Oh, that's helpful.
That was so helpful. And for so many people who might be, have long COVID or something going on right now, sometimes when you think you have a strong voice, right? You think that you're going to be heard. You think if you're corporate, you're powerful, but your voice is being diminished into nothingness. And that's what happened for me, to the point where, there was times where I just didn't even know how I was going to hold on. I really didn't.
Yes.
And then it was a penny that's helped to save my life.
Oh, I have to hear the story about that. You talk about your voice being diminished, and that happens to so many of us when we think that, others know more about the situation that we're going through. Plus, our body is being plagued with pain, and we're body, soul, and spirit. So it affects every part of our being. And suddenly, you found yourself just shrinking and being just in this dark place. I want to hear what happened next.
Well, first of all, let me do an exclamation point when you said shrinking. Because I
Yes.
think that's the word that I use all the time.
Is it? Yeah.
Shrinking. You get into a place where you have felt powerful, but you're looking to humans to help you navigate life rather than going to source. I
Yes.
learned the hard way. Again, I was looking to humans to tell me who I was in that scenario. And then while I was in bed with nothing better to do, and I had created a lot of musicals and theatrical things ever since I was 16. So this was natural for me. But I
Okay.
heard about a penny, a 1943 pure copper penny that could be worth at the time $250,000 and now worth $1 million.
Oh my goodness.
And it got me thinking, wait a minute. If a penny, something that people wouldn't even bend over to pick up unless they're like into lucky pennies, could be worth that much. Because remember, I felt worthless. I felt like I was nothing. And then I hear about something that is kind of worthless, and it
Yes.
set my imagination on fire. And I was like, you know what? I think I'd like to create a storybook for kids and create a musical. And if I ever get out of this situation and find out what's going on for me, I'm going to start this self-worth initiative, change my life radically, get back into alignment, and be motivated to be heart-centered, heart first, and go on to create, musical stories to really embed the whole idea of self-worth. And I want to stop here for a second because most people think self-esteem and self-worth are the same things. They
Right. Talk to us about
are
that.
not.
Yeah.
Self-esteem is whenever I do something, if I do something amazing, I was the director of development for Citibank. Ding, 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 great self-esteem. Working with Disney and Universal Consultants, great self-esteem. But when you're in bed for 3 years and you can't do anything, where do you get your worth? So
Yes.
self-worth is our inherent worth. what we were born with. It's essentially what God has given us. And
Yes.
we are the ones that absolutely positively need to claim it. And I didn't know that at the time.
That's
But
so insightful, Deborah, because it's true. I mean, and neither one is wrong, but self-worth at the end of the day will carry you through the storms, through the ups and the downs, because that's our human beingness, not our human doingness. Human doing is, it's okay to have good self-esteem, but if your value is just solely on what you do, and now you couldn't do what you did,
right?
And so then it was like your self-esteem just plummeted, but you found out that you were still worthy and still had purpose and calling. And I want to hear how you got well, but then this was an opportunity for you really to come forth in your true purpose. This creativity was part of your recovery, yes?
Oh, creativity is everything, because think about it. Most of us, a lot of us, have these boulders inside of us, old pain, regrets, things that are going on. But where does creativity come from? Creativity is inspiration. It drops down.
Yeah.
Like if I say to you, come up with a story right now, you might be like, I don't know. But you go in the shower and then all of a
Yes.
sudden something drops in. Where did it come from? It's meant to
Meant.
wash away that rock and be expressed, you know, so that's what I learned. So anyways, I ended up with a brilliant doctor who did a blood test. Now get this, a simple blood test. When he did it, he found out that my iron was between a 3 to a 6. You're usually supposed to be at a 15. He said, I don't know how you're alive. You should have been dead. Another trigger warning, I had been hemorrhaging, but the gynecologist I had gone to had said, well, that's just perimenopause, nothing to worry about. So what they find out after this is that I had a fibroid tumor the size of a grapefruit behind my uterus. So you can imagine what that would feel like when you had to go to the bathroom. It was excruciating. And once they found that, I had a hysterectomy and was restored to health and back to the vision that I believe that was always meant for me. And throughout my life, I've had two other very questionable health challenges that are all in a very different realm. But I truly believe now, in retrospect, even though, boy, it was a white knuckle ride every which way, that everything was meant to come to where I am today and why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's so beautiful that we can find that are landed right smack dab in the middle of our purpose, God's will for our life, our God dream, through adversity, like you said in your bio, not despite the setbacks, but because of them, you found your purpose. And you lived a chapter of your life or a couple of chapters using gifts. You certainly are brilliant enough to be the CEO or all the things that you did. But like you said, you were not in alignment. So I'm going to shift gears just for a moment because there's some things I want to talk about. You are the author of a book called If Only. You also are the head of a movement, and you talk about the Porcupine's Quills. I want to hear about that. And the musical, Paisley. So all of these things, how can you share with us those and what they mean?
Yes. If Only is actually a fable for adults. I'm going to be honest. I have struggled with faith. I have struggled with faith because many times it was like, if only I was healthy. I mean, like that little kid in me is like, God, I just wanted to do good. How could you put me on the sidelines so many times? What's going on? I don't get it. So to handle that angst in myself, I came up with a story of a snowflake who needs to take her leap of faith. But when she takes her leap of faith, she goes along with faith. So that faith is answering a lot of her questions as she falls. And the first line, one of the first lines is, only when you're falling that you can be lifted. And that's
That's
kind of
good.
the premise of the story, is like this little snowflake saying to the birds, why don't I have wings? Why can't I fly where I want to? And Faith gives her the answer. And then she lands on a tree and she's like, why can't I have roots so that I can stay grounded? And Faith gives her the answer. So as she goes through her journey to, I'm sure everybody knows where snowflakes end up, there's always an answer with Faith giving her something. So it was my human angst and my wish and knowing that were combined in this story. And I'm very, very proud of it. In fact, so many people will read it and say, you brought me to tears. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I can feel that right now just listening to you. I'm thinking I definitely want to read that. What a brilliant concept and pulling the heartstrings at the same time. Beautiful.
Thank
I'm
you.
also really intrigued with the porcupine
Yes,
quills up. That's
here we
the name
go.
of the movie. What
There we
is
go.
that?
Yes. So one of the other stories that I did was called Paisley's Last Quill. And essentially did this in the beginning for little girls, but I always dreamed of doing like a Broadway musical. So what it's about is a little porcupine who dreams of being a fashion designer. But in the animal fashion world, she needs to give away her quills or her protection to pin up the couture designs of Zivanna, a very over-the-top couture diva of the fashion forest. And what I was trying to get across was the whole idea that, especially for little girls, we give away our power because quills are meant to protect us. And yet we're the ones that give it away for love, for belonging, for so many to fit in, to think that we're good enough. And in this story, she gives away all her quills but one. And it's what she does with the last quill that makes a difference. This was a 5-star book. The mothers loved it. And they came back to me and said, hey, that's great that you did it for our kids, but what about us? We give away our quills. We give away our power. What do you have? And so, after another 5-year stretch of a lot of things that happened to me personally after COVID, I decided, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm going for Paisley the Musical. I love Wicked. I love The Lion King. I love the messages. Why not take that story that I so love, that's already proven with all 5 stars, and go for it? And that's where you find me now.
So tell me about the musical. Is it ready to go? Can we see it? What happens next?
Great question. So usually what happens in this instance is that you need $14 to $40 million to produce what I'm thinking of, and I don't have that kind of money, but I'm all heart. And what I learned from the Disney and Universal people is that if everybody's going left, you go right.
Oh.
So way back in the day with Hair, they actually started with the album first. With, Where's the Sunshine and, Aquarius. And
Yes.
from that, everything was launched. And I think that's so brilliant and doable, like beyond doable. So I've gathered an amazing team. We're creating the music now. We have 5 songs that's going to come out in an album coming up really soon, right around the corner. We're going to get that out there, get the excitement going, and then from there, make things happen. Because look at it this way. Let's just say that we sell the album to 1 million people. What kind of monies and the cost is going to be according to what anybody wants to pay for. If somebody wants to pay a penny, great. If somebody wants to pay $100,000, great.
Great.
But let's say that that really starts to happen. We will be able to move forward because a lot of times in musicals, it takes like 5, 7, 10 years to workshop, put it together. I'm a grandma, Don. I don't have time for that. I'm ready to jump in and make a difference now. So that's the way that we're moving forward. And the team, like I said, is amazing.
That's incredible. And I just wish you all the very best because that musical needs to be available. We need to see that. And so you've birthed it, you've given it your all, and you know, now it's going to grab wings like the bird, not the snowflake. It's going to fly, it's going to soar, it's going to go. You know, I just totally believe that. So, you know, as our time is coming to a close, Deborah, so great to speak with you. You're encouraging us, you know, as you just said a moment ago, and these are my words, not yours, but you know, we're not spring chickens here. We are in the best last potential third of our lives. Can we really reinvent at this age? Can we really overcome the grief, the trauma, the loss, and go on to have a significant last third of life? What say you?
I say absolutely, because if you use the trauma and everything that's happened for you and you realize, let me put it a very important way. What's the difference between failure and regret? Failure, if you try something, let's say, and you're planting a seed, you might get your hands dirty. It might feel like you're learning and oh my gosh, there's setbacks, but you might get a surprise flower.
Yeah.
But if you have regret, you never plant that seed. And so nothing ever has the potential to grow. And if God is the water and we're not, we just step out of the way and see what happens. So to answer your question, I encourage everybody to take my hand, take your hand, jump into life, give it a try, because we're never too old, we're never too damaged, we're never too anything to try again.
Yeah, so well said, so beautifully said. I join those sentiments so much. I believe that as well. When a second half of life just happened to me, we have those choices. Am I going to be courageous? Am I going to lay here in the fetal position? Am I going to quit? Or am I going to allow that creative download to saturate my life and believe that God's got more and better and richer for me? Even if it is a flower, you know, it's enough. If whatever it is, it's enough. Deborah, where can people find you? Do you offer a course, a coaching? Is it your book? Is it, how do we support you?
You would support me by going to Paisley's Fashion Forest. And if you're a singer, dancer, creative, investor, producer, and even no matter what age you are, please DM me, contact me, because I'm going to be keeping my eyes open for the next Idina Menzel, for the next, those people who really shine. And I don't care how many influencers you have. It could be two. But if you've got it, contact me. As far as my books, that's really where, you know, I can offer inspiration now. And if you look on my IG, Instagram, it's Deborah.weed. And I look forward to getting to know everybody. But thank you so much, Dawn. This has been amazing.
Thank you. And you are just an absolute beautiful soul. You are a brave-hearted woman. And we thank you for bringing your story to us. And we'll have all of your links and things available in the show notes. So, hey, brave hearts, this has been amazing, right? I know that you've enjoyed this. And maybe you're ready to reignite your confidence. Maybe you are ready to awaken your courage and step into your next and find that God-given clarity without second guessing, without shrinking, without wondering if it's too late. Well, check me out too. I have a transformational course that will change your life. Visit me at thebraveheartedwoman.com/bravehearted-transformation for the woman who knows she's meant for more. This is your moment to rise in confidence. Dawn Damon, your Braveheart mentor, leaving you like I always do. It's time for you. Find your brave and live your dreams. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing Bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Brave-Hearted Woman, Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.